Good morning, everybody. You are listening to the mighty 690K GGF. Kyle High sitting in with you this morning. And now joining us on the phone is Representative Doug Blex. Mr. Blex, how are you doing this morning, sir?
Been late, about midnight from Leavenworth last night, but I'm certainly enjoying this fall weather. It's my time of year.
Oh, most definitely. It's finally nice for it to actually feel like fall instead of like extended summer, pretty much, huh? Okay, well, a few things that we talked about off air that you wanted to talk about today was one of the things you wanted to discuss was the sales tax revenue.
Well, yeah, and general income tax, both sales income tax, were up again for about, I think, about 27 months out of 28. We've had good revenue for the state of Kansas. Individual income tax were about $20 million over the estimate, about 5.6%, and about 8% over this same time last year. So I guess that's a good thing. Of course, a lot of this, we have a lot of individuals and corporations will file either from an extended delayed tax filing, or they're kind of keyed to the end of their fiscal quarter. So, and this is really a direct result of that 2017 tax increase that was imposed on individuals. But also sales tax was above, about $2.4 million above, about 4%, as well as compensating use, which is tax on out-of-state sale. That was 4%. So I guess that will at least give us a cushion and have some money there. Certainly, we had to, as we increase taxes, that tends to put some burdens on certain individuals, but at least there's money there to conduct business. So in some ways, that's maybe a good thing for a lot of people.
Right. And there was something else that had come up about the, and you may have already addressed this, the out-of-state sales tax.
Well, yeah. Governor Kelly directed the Secretary of Revenue to implement an out-of-state sales tax, which that was effective October 1. And ironically, the Attorney General, Derek Schmidt, issued opinion that the Department of Revenue Secretary really does not have the authority to expand state sales tax to out-of-state retailers. Now, I certainly support a fair competitive advantage, and a lot of times our local businesses and merchants, people will come in, handle an item, and then get on the internet and order it at a lower price, and that certainly does not help our local businesses. And we want to try to make that fair, but there is a process that needs to be enacted, and there's no safe harbor position in there for to exempt some real small volume merchants out of state. And it'll probably be Attorney General has a lot of experience in this area. He basically said this no doubt will spark legal battles. And kind of disappointing is our governor vetoed the federal state decoupling bill, which did include up to a 1% reduction in sales tax on food, and that was going to be funded from out-of-state vendors who had more than $100,000 in volume of sales. So this is kind of an action. I'll cover several of these points, but it's kind of an action to where we have people, each branch of government has a certain function. And certainly the legislative function is to fund state government and pass bills to make them legal so that we have a consistent rule of law. And when the governor done this, no doubt it'll be a lot of battles. So what will probably happen is somebody will sue us, and then we'll have to give that money back. So if we're going to do this, let's do it right. So that's kind of from my stance on it. I think a lot of other legislators must respect each branch of government as to what they were intended to do. And this is obviously a case where our Attorney General feels like it will be unconstitutional, and our governor did not have the authority to do it.
Yeah, I did see where Mr. Schmidt voiced his opinion the other day, saying he did not agree with that. Also wanted to talk about a cap on non-economic damage. I think that's what you said. At least that's what my handwriting says. So,
non-economic damages. Basically, this includes medical or damages or others. But for a lot of years, Kansas has had a cap. In other words, if I can only sue up for a certain amount, and that's been $250,000. And recently, a jury trial awarded a individual that was rear-ended by a semi driver in her vehicle almost $350,000, a little less than that, which exceeded the cap big time. And we think, well, you know, she's hurt, so that person's hurt, and they deserve it. But at the same token, when those things happen, that's going to cause an increase in insurance premiums, which is going to impact everything. So that's going to be probably a big issue that will be coming up. We'll try to cover this coming session, is to somehow balance that to where we can really get what somebody may deserve if it's a legitimate claim, as well as be able to provide businesses some kind of a cap to say, hey, we can't, you know, you can't sue over a certain amount, or a jury can't award over a certain amount. And because financially, one of those lawsuits could really have a great impact on a business, could even cause bankruptcy. So we will be discussing that. It's going to be a busy year, and probably a lot of battles coming up.
Absolutely. Oh, go ahead, sir.
Well, another battle we'll be dealing with would be, and I'm actually on Financial Institutions and Pensions Committee. The interim committee had a big discussion over privilege fee or privilege tax that banks have to pay the state of Kansas when they make loans to, say, like you and I or businesses. And right now, credit unions are exempt from that 2.25 privilege tax on loans. And, of course, the bank said we need a fair competitive advantage. Credit unions aren't paying this. Credit unions responded by saying, well, these are private individuals doing the loan, and they're actually paying income tax on that, too, because they're primarily, most credit unions are nonprofits. So basically, be setting up this next session of a big battle, one of several, and that'll be coming up in financial institutions, which is normally not a real controversial committee to serve on, but looks like we may have some long days figuring out what to do.
Absolutely. So again, you were talking about that, as well as you were wanting to talk about Medicaid.
Well, I'm also on the Human Services, which the Senate is rumored to come out with a version to expand Medicaid. We were having some interim committees this past couple of weeks between Senate and House members, and there will probably be a bill introduced to expand Medicaid. That pressure was on the last few years, and we're looking at a lot of states and how they've operated. Generally, the enrollment is 2 to 3 times above the predicted numbers, which has increased in a lot of cost. And currently, right now, most states have an expansion, and we can kind of develop our own program, but states will normally be about 138% of federal poverty level for those people below that number that'd be able to qualify. And that's about 35,000, between 35 and 36,000 for a family of four. So some of the things we want to do probably is, if they go down to 100% or drop that level down and then allow maybe the 100 to 138% to stay kind of in the exchange. There's kind of some problems going back and forth. But we also, I think I've heard the Santa Virgin may want to provide a pathway to employment. They're going to ask the question, do you work? And then provide some either training, additional educational training, and there'd be a program. deal wellness exam and some preventive issues. Because right now there's really not really significant data that says this program will, you know, has a real positive outcome. So they're going to combine the federal waivers, the 1115 waiver along with the 1332 waivers, possibly. So a lot of people don't understand how that's paid for. And basically, a portion of that it's a 90-10 match, but it'll still be potentially $121 billion to the state of Kansas, and that'll be paid for from a HMO and MCO tax, some drug rebates, and a hospital provider tax. Most, a lot of people don't. The same banking provider tax that they have to pay, hospitals have to pay a provider tax. So even though the hospitals may benefit, it still, you know, taxes may increase on there to fund this. So right now, they're looking at tobacco, e-cigarettes, and vape tax increase, and that'll generate about $50 million projected. So out of that 121, so state of Kansas will still probably be on the hook for around $60 million.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Representative, for coming in today, talking about all these issues going on within the state of Kansas, and we hope to have you on again very soon.
Okay, well, I guess another point is the Interim Committee on Broadband indicated that they're going to put $10 million to expand and improve our internet access, which is greatly needed, and all that. And a lot of people think that we don't 90 days, but this last week I put 1,500 miles on my vehicle serving on a legislative panel from Garden City to Leavenworth, which is a long ways between those two towns.
That is a long trip, very sure.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to appreciate you doing this, Kyle. Appreciate the radio station allow us to voice our concerns and inform our constituents, and may God bless us all.
Absolutely. We enjoy having you in, and it's always a joy to have you guys in every week, at least one representative from the area. And it is my pleasure to have you on today. Thank you very much for coming on.
Yes, have a good day.
Okay, you have a good day too, sir. That is Representative Doug Blex right here on the Mighty 690 KGGF. Let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll have some news near the top of the hour right here on the Mighty 690 KGGF.
This KGGF Community Calendar is brought to you by the David W. Barnes Funeral Home. The 13th annual Coats for Kids motorcycle run will be...